Hello and welcome to Longevity Now, the place for all your news and views of life extension from around the world. Lately, I've been kind of complaining a little bit and asking some probing questions about where are we at as far as life extension and rejuvenation go. I've been doing this for over 20 years. It's getting close to 25 years, and there's nothing really proven that's relatively inexpensive that's out in the marketplace widespread. So I've been looking for some positive news. So in this Longevity Now podcast, we talked to James Stroll, the director of People Unlimited and Radfest, and he's got some positive messages for everyone out there, and he sees a good future ahead, hopefully soon. Listen in and find out more. And now I would like to welcome to the Longevity Now podcast, James Stroll, the director of Coalition for Radical Life Extension. Welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you very much, Justin. Thank you for having me on here. As you know, the Coalition is a nonprofit organization that produces Radfest.
Yes, that's right. And for those of you who have not attended Radfest in the past, maybe you would like to attend this year. We'll get to that a little bit later in the podcast. I've been there a couple of times, and I just could not recommend it more as far as positive energy for the future. I don't know if I've been to a conference that has delivered that much. First of all, before we dive any deeper into current rejuvenation and biomedical treatments and things like that, could you tell us a little bit about your journey, how you became one of the leading lights in human rejuvenation? You know, I think about myself when I was younger, just growing up on a farm, and I wouldn't have guessed that maybe I would end up being involved in life extension. But what about your story?
Yeah, well, thank you. Well, I started out, very young as far as the interest in longevity, super longevity, immortality. I was about 11 years old. And, we all have experiences with eventually in this world of ours that we lose somebody, our first experience of losing somebody we're connected to or love. And mine was my grandmother, 11 years old. I was very close to her. She died with cancer, and it was horrendous to see her deteriorate. And I thought something's wrong, that we're in this world and a vibrant person like this who has such inspiration to live and knowledge. She was like 80 at the time and really vibrant person, except for this cancer, which just devastated her. Anyway, she died and it was painful for me. The first experience of somebody close to me dying. And I said to my mother, I said, oh, when will I, get to see grandmother again? We were raised in a Christian home, and my mother was quite a progressive person. And she said, well, when you die to go to heaven. But I thought, oh, I had to die to go see her. That, 11 years old, for sure, that didn't sound very good. And so I said, well, I just popped it out. I said, well, why can't we have heaven here on earth? I said, why do we have to die to go to heaven? And she said, that's a good question. You should pursue that. So you might say I had that in my heart, my mind, as I was growing up. I used to write in school. I used to write themes on it and so forth. It would kind of freak out some of my teachers because I'd be talking about, unlimited life, heaven here on earth. When we were asked to write themes. But I did have some great mentors, some great encouragement from also teachers that would say, oh, wow, this is pretty amazing. And actually called my parents in to the school to, tell them and show them what I've been writing and encourage them to nurture that in me. So that was pretty beautiful in that level. When you have something I feel that you're really passionate about, you'll draw to you people that, have that same passion and support if you'll stay on that path. So I stayed on that path, for a long time. I did a lot of human development work at an early age that most people weren't even into, psychocybernetics, integral yoga, Silva mind control, all these different programs through my teens. And I got kind of high on life, where some of my friends were always getting high on drugs, which I'm not, saying bad or good, but I didn't want to ruin this feeling I had in my body of aliveness. So I kind of stayed away from outside stimulants in that level. I did a few, obviously, we all, test some things, but anyway, short story then is that I drew and met my partner, Bernadine Brown, and her person she was working with at the time, Charles Paul Brown, in 1968. I met them speaking on immortality and that immortality was possible. And they're also very much into looking for science. Chuck was a very, you might say, progressive person, a level of research and so forth. And he was always hunting for scientific, validity of that. But I was very moved by their passion for life. And so in 1971, I started working with them. And that's another long story, but I'll just say that I started working with them. And then from there, we traveled all over the world speaking on immortality and unlimited lifespans and looking for scientists that were, sharing that view or anybody that did share that view. We found a lot of people throughout the world that were definitely interested. And in 1995, Bernie and I then formed People Unlimited, which we have now here. Although I lost Bernie to breast cancer last June. She was 86, and she was another person, very, very healthy otherwise. I mean, then got this cancer. She lived through that for 10 years and did quite well until the last year when she got COVID and then lost her appetite, went downhill from there. So these are things that, hey, this world will break our hearts if we let it, and we have to do something about it, and that's why I'm dedicated to what I'm doing, not just because the pain of losing somebody you love, but also that I think living unlimited lifespans is one of the most exciting things we can do today, or maybe ever as human beings, most profound thing we can do to end the tyranny of aging and death in our bodies, and to be able to extend life with vitality and strength, and to get into what I call the era of creativity and get out of this survival mode. Because in survival, we never get to know who we really are, what our real capacity is to create. So that's my reason I got into this, and there's a reason I stay in it, and that I keep going no matter what comes up for me.
Now, one of the things I heard you mention there is speaking of immortality. And I know a lot of people are afraid to mention that term. Of course, the Longevity Now podcast was outgrowth of the Immortality Institute, which was founded by a bunch of people back about 25 years ago. And I'm not afraid to mention it. And I know there are a lot of scientists and philosophers who talk about infinite things, like in math, infinity. It doesn't exist. You can't get there. But it is a concept that is useful. Why do you think so many people in the life extension arena are so afraid to say the word immortality? In my mind, it's just a limit, something that you strive for. Sure, theoretically, you can never get there, but it is a worthy concept, I think, in order to frame the conversation. What's your input on that?
Well, it's kind of multifaceted, I think. I mean, in the sense that maybe some people are afraid of public opinion. You see that all the time, that, oh, you might be thought of being crazy. Also, some people are concerned about if they are too outspoken that way, that they'll lose funding or not get the funding they need for their projects. And I understand that. At the same time, I think that the way I put it out is that, look, we have to set the table full, right? And everybody's gonna partake of what they want to partake of. But if we don't, so immortality, I speak of immortality. I feel like that's our true destiny as human beings. But at the same time, some people might just want to live an extra 20, 30 years, or maybe 100 years in vitality and strength. You'll hear that. Oh, I want to live to 150. I want to live to 200. And hey, that's great. Anybody wants to extend life in any way is of value. And so I think it's important not to leave immortality out of the equation because, it's like that's another piece of the puzzle, right? You might want to have a real passion, and not a lot of people do, in having unending life and with vitality and strength. And that needs to be on the table for people to see. You don't have to force anybody to do anything that don't want to do. So why should people even say, oh, you shouldn't say immortality? I mean, or they're afraid of it. Make it an option. And so that's how I look at it. It's one of the options. I tell people who want to live to 150, for example, I think that's great. But I think that if they get to 150, like Ray Kurzweil says, they're going to want to live, keep, and they're going good. They're not going to want to die then,
I kind of figure that too. You talk to people, and some people, unfortunately, even in this modern era of medical technology where they know many good things are possible, still think when they get to be 100, they're going to be in pain and depressed and can barely move. But if they were 100 and yet they were running marathons yet and happy and visiting friends and all this, I can't imagine they'd say, well, when I get to be 101, that's it. I think that they would say, well, yeah, sure, I'd want to live a few more years. Okay. I want to mention also, unfortunately, you did tell us about your tragedies in your life where your grandmother died of cancer and Bernadine, unfortunately, died of cancer as well. And my parents both have had cancer. And I would have to say the treatment options are very poor, even in 2025. I know we've had the war on cancer, and we've literally spent around the world I mean, several trillion dollars trying to come up with better cures for cancer. But what we have nowadays, still very limited. Do you ever wonder about that as you've seen it over the last 50 years of your life, and so much effort has been put into this, and yet we still haven't got any surefire cures for cancer? Does that kind of weigh on your mind a little bit, thinking, how complicated is aging? How complicated are these diseases of aging? Is it going to take another 50 years to maybe reverse some of these aspects of aging?
Well, good point, and I give a lot of, I'll say, praise and recognition to people in the fighting cancer, from the scientists to the doctors, et cetera. Most of them are very genuine about wanting to cure cancer. In fact, you hear the story many times of the graduate student, doctors or scientists saying, "Oh, I'm going to cure cancer," and then, years and years go by, and they understand that there's more complexity in it all the time. There's also the issue of huge sums of money going into maybe displaced research, and also the pharmaceutical companies dominating that research many times and not allowing the broad spectrum that could be to really, I'll say, funnel that money correctly to that purpose. But it is very complex. And that's why also, and you may have heard this, we're doing a rally for longevity in the steps of Washington, D.C. in the spring of 26. Okay, we're yet to working on that date for the purpose of one of them key initiatives is to get life extension and aging and death, aging itself, as to be recognized as a disease by the FDA. This way, because it's almost like with cancer, you have all these diseases, right? With cancer, it is an unlimited list of these diseases that plague us as human beings. But we're fighting them like one by one, right? We beat cancer, then there's something else, then there's something else. And of course, there's several, heart disease and that are the top of the list, of the scale that we deal with of diseases that are threats to us all the time. But what if we, and this is what I think is missing in the approach. So what if we were to really see that aging, and it's true, is a disease, and we kind of start at the top, you might say the trunk of the tree rather than the branches here. And if we cure aging, then we're going to have a domino effect in curing all these other diseases that are age related and immune system related. So point being that I would like to see, all of us, I'll say the medical world, begin to focus on the core reason we're having these issues. And then we're going to see more progress. Otherwise, if you're trying to attack these one by one, you're dumping huge amounts of money into it. I mean, even if they cure cancer right now, tomorrow, it's really only going to increase the lifespan an extra 2 to 5 years, somewhere in that range. Okay. I mean, it's still a great thing to cure, but then you have these other diseases that we're always, as human beings, seem to bring to the surface, right? Unknown viruses, unknown bacteria, et cetera. So the best medicine, in other words, is longevity medicine, all right? Preventative medicine, getting to the core of why we're aging, why we're having these diseases. That's where I'd like to see these huge amounts of money funneled to.
Besides the March for Life Extension there in Washington, D.C., coming up, you got any other ideas for strategies to upend the current system? Because, like you mentioned, the pharmaceutical companies and the big hospital industries seem to profit off of illness. And I mean, I hate to say that, but
Unfortunately.
actions, I mean, the results matter. And the results so far are not great. I know there's a lot of doctors out there and a lot of health practitioners that think they're doing very well, but it seems the system would rather make money off of illness than cure illness or cure aging. Besides the march, any other, strategies? How can we turn the idea around, to search for cures instead?
Well, that's a very good discussion. Thank you for bringing that up. I feel like in general, we're a society that's money driven, like you said, money driven. And it's not even that for some people they I'll say maybe forego the cure for the money. It's just that we're a money driven society and we're programmed that way. And we haven't yet awakened, as a whole to the real value of human life. So most of the people running these, I'll say machines or running the system in that level, they think death is inevitable, right? So in one level or another. And so money is still the priority. Money is another way of people creating a legacy and what I call imaginary immortality. You can't take your money with you, but some people, well, the more money they can make, it's almost like they feel immortal then. You know, they like to have some type of legacy. So having said that, it's like I was feeling a lot about this the other day. I think there's a wake up when you say another strategy I've been giving to myself. Is there an innate ability, an innate, I'll say, almost like a lineage that's in our bodies of life, a primal scream for immortality, you know, that is innately in us that we haven't tapped into yet. And if we began to, I'll say, espouse that more, also do not discount the power of our mindset, the power of our ability to inspire each other, inspire new life in each other, because right now we can tell people all we want to about, you know, the medicines they could take to live, but still that program, I call it the program of death, is predominant in their bodies. So that's what drives them, right? So what if we were to begin to espouse more that, hey, innately in you is this potential to live forever, and you have a choice. You were born into a world of death, and that program has been going on for 1,000 years. It's evolutionary designed, okay, to the pro for the propagation of the species, not for the survival of each of us as individuals. So how can we change that? How can we change that evolutionary response that's programmed in us? Because that's really what we deal with people, I think. You know, they mean well, they want to, many of them do well, but they're in this program and it's very deeply ingrained. So what if we were to begin to espouse more that, hey, there's another program we can tap into, and it's about the true value of human life. It's about also in you, this program of death you've been born into. Also in you is a program of life, of an immortal lineage, I'll say, that's in you that you can tap into and begin to awaken that in each other. I've had a lot of experience with that since I began to investigate this and even, you know, kind of put myself in a human trials mode in the last 2 or 3 years. And I've seen transformation happen, even in the awakening here with People Unlimited people and other people that I'm speaking this to. Something awakens in their bodies. Like, oh, they begin to move out of just this idea. Even the ones who embrace immortality or longevity, they still weren't really being active. They still weren't really being activated. But now this has activated them in a new way to understand that that potential is in there that they can tap into. And so it awakens a new spirit in our bodies. I call it the spirit of immortality. So that is what I'm actually espousing more right now, along with everything at RadFest that we're going to bring to the table. By the way, at RadFest, I don't know if you heard it, but Aubrey de Grey now, Dr. Aubrey de Grey, we're partnering up for this RadFest in Vegas now. We had a great meeting here in Scottsdale with him. We talked together about, you know, having this type of merging for a while, and now it's happened. So he'll be merging with us, his LEVF, Longevity Escape Velocity Foundation, will be merging with us here on July 10th through the 13th in the RadFest
July,
event.
yeah, July 10th through the 13th. Give us your pitch for RadFest, other than the fact that the
Well,
Longevity Escape
okay.
Velocity Foundation is
Yeah,
joining you.
so this is a great thing that this merging is happening. It's going to raise the bar in the science. It's going to be the best event in the world for science and inspiration. You already said earlier, you know, you were so inspired there and it was great science, but now we're raising that bar. And a great thing about RadFest is we're not selling something, okay? I encourage people to take a tablespoon of olive oil morning and night. I think it's great, but I don't sell it. I'm not saying that's against anybody that does sell things, but look, when you come to RadFest, people can be confident that we're bringing to you, we're not commercial, we're bringing to you the best of every modality and therapy we can bring to the table. We're not biased. We're not supported by some company that we have to, you know, adhere to. We're not selling a product that we're getting a percentage from, you know. So you can be, you as a consumer, for example, could be more confident that what we're bringing to the table there has no bias to it. All right. We're not commercial. We're just dedicated to bringing the best to you. And so that's very important because a lot of these events you go to, they're selling things, constantly selling things, promoting things. They're tied to a company, you know, like the FDA is tied to pharmaceutical companies, you know, same type of chemistry that can happen. And then people have bias and not even meaning to do that, but they end up having bias. We don't do that. We're non-commercial. We're going to bring to you the best, most honest innovations and supplements that we can bring to the table.
Yeah, and you do, of course, have a lot of different variety at RadFest. And there's nothing you're selling like a program that the RadFest program that everyone has to follow. However, do you still have the vendor area, the market
Yes.
area Yeah, okay.
Yes, they're independent. What I'm
They're
saying is
independent, but when I've been there in the past, I've seen so many unique and innovative new things in that area of the Radville.
yeah, we don't get percentages from them. We don't, it's a conflict of interest for us. We're bringing them in. They pay their fee to be have a booth there. If you want to buy their product, you do, but we're not out. What we bring there, we try to bring the best vendors, keep snake oil out in simple terms, but also give options that may be futuristic that you might not even understand, but they have benefits. We've researched them, they have benefits. So we're bringing you to the table what has the most benefits, not what we're trying to sell.
Okay, and one part of rejuvenation is biotechnology going ahead in the future. I know you're going to have a few presentations on different types of technology that can help us in the future. Now, some people are worried that the machine or the system that you and I both mentioned earlier, that perhaps it might work at odds against the human spirit or the human experience and human potential. So I know you're familiar with the topic about Ray Kurzweil and the singularity and the pros and cons of the of artificial intelligence. How do you view that going forward? So far, a lot of our technology seems to use a term, enslave us, addiction, entertainment, buy this, and it's not seemingly used for the expansion of human potential. How do you view that, the knife's edge between the pros and cons of artificial intelligence and robotics and different things like that going forward?
Well, first of all, I'll say I'm excited about that future, but I'm excited for it about a different way. I agree that, technology and has been used through the ages. I mean, it almost seems like the human beings had ability to, take some of the best innovations and that could be, conducive to humankind and be able to create some way to sabotage us in it, right? I mean, we've seen this down the line. But that's the thing. That's because partly, if not completely, because we have this death program in us. Until that program is changed, we're going to always turn around and sabotage what we create. I mean, this is pretty well known throughout. If we just look at history, you have countries, even whole countries rise, come to their glory, then find some way to sabotage it. And I'm saying it's because of that death program in their bodies that we find some way to destroy ourselves. So ending that sabotage, which we have the ability to do, which really, I mean, we talk about technology. We're unlimited in our technology. We yet have not discovered how unlimited we are, just in what we can create, even in our own bodies, the capacity, because we've been so suppressed on that level, and we've had this death program to work. But tapping into this, I'll say this, a spirit of immortality, this unlimitedness in our own bodies, okay, is going to change that program, and it's already is. I see it happening in people to where everything we do then and create, we're going to create it conducive in a conducive way for our well-being. AI, because the reality is the creator really determines which way that's going to go. Okay, people are worried about that getting out of hand, and only does it really get out of hand. It's just that the people who created it let it get out of hand and start using it for some destructive purpose because of part of that death program. So you can say, oh, it's impossible to get everybody on that same board. Well, you won't get everybody on that same board, but we're going to get enough to change the dynamics of creativity in our lives. I feel like it's going to be a potent, even the people who say can't embrace that all the way, longevity, they're going to begin to feel the virtue of what this is really about and living and understand that it's not just for them, it's for their grandkids, their great-great-grandkids. And everybody down the line is going to benefit from this. Just like this march we're going to do at DC, we're not going in there demanding, demonizing anybody, the FDA or anybody else. We're going there and say, hey, look, here's a wonderful program that will everyone will benefit, including you, no matter how long you want to live or not. It's a better way to go.
Okay. And speaking of living longer, and people listen often to the podcast to practical advice about what they can do to maintain their health. And you're in your 70s, I believe.
76.
76, and you look great. Could you
Thank
give
you.
us just a couple of nuggets here? Nothing too expansive, but a couple of things you found that have worked the best for you. A couple of supplements or a couple of biohacks, just what has worked the best for you.
Well, interesting enough, I recently did a class, well, 6 nights I did it, and for People Unlimited, we opened that up streaming for everybody. We had a lot of people show up for it because people started asking me all the time, oh, what do? You look good, you're healthy, you're always got good energy. What do? So I took 6 nights in a once a week for 6 weeks, and told everybody what I do. I didn't say, oh, you should do this or should not do this. I said, here's what I do, and hopefully it will share some what I've done so that you can benefit and you can even add to it. You know, what do you do? What do you do? You know, so it was very constructive. In fact, people can go on peopleunlimitedinc.com website and they can actually pull that up if they want to watch that. It's a 6-part series. Now, it has everything to do with, as you know, look, there's basics we have to attend to. If you're unhealthy, you're eating wrong, you're not cleansing your body, and you're not nourishing it, you're not going to be able to get the biggest, bigger benefit, as big a benefit from the upcoming innovations because you're not be as, you need to be healthy for these innovations, much less live long enough to benefit from them, right? You know, I think it was Dr. Terry Grossman who said, live long enough to live forever. So I do everything from some of the basics, just getting up in the morning, stretching, breathing exercises, Wellham cold dips, you know, breathing. I don't do all these in one day, but I do several. Like when I get up just before you came on, I was out doing stretching outside in the sun. After I'm done with you, I have another meeting in about 15 minutes, but I'll get up between that time and I'll do some walking or breathing, what I call spinning around for balance. You know, just moving my body, not sitting all the time all day. I have interest like intervals. I'll be doing things all day. So then I also have done exosomes, stem cells, placenta stem cells, EBO. I think EBO now, which is a blood oxygenation ozone treatment, that is fundamentally one of the best things someone can do now just to keep basic health going. It's like an oil change for your body. They completely filter the blood, hit it with ozone for oxygenation. I've had three of them in the last 3 months. And I'm telling you, I do a lot of things, and there's not many times that you can't even tell a difference of what you're taking because you've done something, do something, and you feel good. But this, I could tell a marked difference in oxygenation and clearness, and my blood work got better, you know? And so EBO is phenomenal because, you know, we go around with this same old blood all the time. We wouldn't do that with our car, right? So, and it's relatively inexpensive, okay, when you consider the benefits. And you know, everybody can do it. And it's very benign. It's not risky to do.
Well,
Yeah.
that's an interesting thing that you brought to the table here to the discussion that I don't know that that many people do. And also, people can go to People Unlimited, watch your
Yeah.
video series, and get some more information about that. Well,
Yes.
James, thank you so much for joining us today on the Longevity Now podcast.
Thank you, Jess. It's been a lot of fun. I look forward
Hope
to
to
seeing you at
see.
Red.
I hope I am able to attend Rapfest as well and meet a lot of great people.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So I've been in the advocacy business here for life extension and rejuvenation for almost 25 years, but that's nothing compared to James. I hope you share in his positivity about the future because he's been at it for nearly 50 years. So if he's finding a way to stay healthy and stay positive and working for a better future, so can you. Until next time, I'm Justin Lowe.